Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. Today I talk to Tara Baker, who is the General Manager of Finance and the Treasurer for the City of Guelph. This is always a busy time of year for Baker and her staff, and this year it may even be busier because this is the year that the City of Guelph is introducing a new way of considering and passing the city budget. A plan that aligns budget priorities with the strategic plan and forecasts the budget an additional 3 years out. In the past, Guelph's annual budget has been built piece by piece and only 1 year at a time. And while that has served us well in the past, the move to multi-year budgeting is another sign that Guelph is growing and changing. So what does all this entail? Tara Baker is here to tell us, and explaining the new budget is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, the first time Tara Baker was on the Guelph Politicast, it was to give us an explainer about how the budget is put together every year. It was a process that more or less started right after the last budget was passed, and it involved every city department starting again at zero and rebuilding their budget from scratch. It wasn't easy, it was short-sighted, and it created a lot of work for everyone with the word finance and manager in their job title. There had to be a better way, and perhaps the better way is to move to multi-year budgeting. Now, among the advantages of this new process is that council can't consider monetary decisions in a vacuum. You can make the decision to delay a project or the hiring of a full-time equivalent position or FTE by 1 year, but by budgeting 1 year at a time, you can't see the effect on the long-term financial plans. With multi-year budgeting, you can. Multi-year budgeting also gives council a broader understanding of the city's financial future. Consider the decision to build a new library or a new community center. The immediate cost to next year's budget may fall under capital, but there are also new operating expenses and staffing in the years that follow. Multi-year budgeting makes it easier to see those effects by not just expanding the timeline, but by eliminating the silos of capital and operating budgets and considering them both at the same time. It sounds complicated, but how complicated is it really? Well, that's one of the things Tara Baker will answer on this week's Guelph Politicast. She will explain the benefits of the new way of budgeting, how city staff made it happen, and how they're hoping to bring the public up to speed on these changes. Baker will also discuss how the budget is organized, how staff organize the different departments into the various strategic plan categories, and how local boards and committees that still budget on an annual basis will fit into the city's multi-year plan. And then finally, we will talk about the ongoing effects of COVID-19 on the budget, the possible future aligning of municipal budgets with the province, and what this budget process will look like this time next year. So I caught up with Tara Baker earlier this week via Zoom. Tara Baker, thank you so much for joining me today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I know it's a very busy time for you, so we will get right into it. I guess the first and most obvious question is, you know, we've been doing the budget a certain way for a while now, probably predating your tenure as the GM of finance. So why, why change to a multi-year format? What are the advantages there versus the way we were doing the budget before? And along with that, I guess is, why is it important to align the budget with the strategic plan as we are doing now?
So thanks very much for the question. I think it's really important for council and the community to understand that those are the two biggest differences that they're seeing when they look at the budget documents this year. In terms of why do we want the budget aligned with the strategic plan, I think it's really important that our budget resource allocations are aligning to those priorities that are set out in the strat plan. And in the past, we've always presented the budget based on our hierarchy, management hierarchy, and our service areas, for example, public services and IDE and corporate services. But that's really difficult then to overlay onto a strategic plan that's outlining very specific goals and what we hope to achieve. And so this year, the budget is really reflecting what the strategic plan hopes to deliver, and in a way that is just a continuation of the strat plan. And into the future, what we hope to do is then there'll be a third piece, being the performance reporting aligned with the strat plan. So you'll have that full cycle of strategic plan, resourcing, performance review, and it, you know, continues like that in a cycle year over year. So so that's really like the reason why it's so valuable and why it was so important to us to move to that presentation of the budget this year. In terms of the multi-year forecast period, I think that the value in that is that you're finally being able to communicate the long-term fiscal impacts of the strategic plan initiatives. So, you know, if you look at budget only in one-year increments, you're not being accountable, I would say, to the long-term financial impacts of those decisions. And a lot of the times, capital projects, for example, come with operating budget impacts that affect many years in the future. And so finally, in this budget, achieving that forecast view, I think is a needed step in terms of the maturity and the accountability in our financial planning and financial decision making.
Is the hope too that maybe this addresses, and this is maybe a political question, but councillors being political, of course, are thinking about the very short term gains, and a lot of that has to be around the increase of the tax levy, and sometimes that means pushing something off till next year or the year after or even the term after. Does something like this sort of make it more real for in those political considerations too, that you're not just saying here's what the impact is for this year, but you know, here's what the impact is for next year and the year after, and maybe that makes it a bit harder to push things off for political expediency's sake?
Absolutely. I think it's staff's job to stay out of the politics, and I think that providing that forecast absolutely makes it more difficult, but it provides them with the very real understanding that if you're gonna use reserves, for example, in 2021 to reduce the tax levy impact, that is gonna get added to that forecast number that they're seeing there in 2022, right? And so I do believe it will make it more real and provide better data and better information for them to have those discussions.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned reporting part of this too, and aligning the budget with the strategic plan means we're not considering them as like two separate pieces, but as kind of complementary to each other. Does that mean, or maybe it means in a different way, the quarterly variances that we get at council at the end of every quarter, does that reporting change?
So at this point in time, we don't foresee that changing in the near term. It's something we've talked about. And we're going to talk about how we could maybe do both in those variance reports. We still want to maintain the hierarchy and the management structure that we have in place in the organization. And monitoring of budget variances is that kind of accountability piece. And that does fall from our hierarchy of service areas. But how do we align that reporting so it's also part of, you know, that it reflects the strategic plan in this budget presentation? So it's something we haven't completely figured out at this point, but we'll be thinking about that as we get into the early part of 2021.
Mm-hmm. And another part of this too, and maybe this is a question that goes a bit beyond your desk, but the budget used to be organized by, you know, infrastructure development, enterprise, public services, corporate services. Those are still ways in which the business of committee of the whole is organized. And I'm wondering if maybe that system is, I mean, if we're organizing things according to the strategic plan in order to measure things better, you know, should we not be organizing the way on the governance side? And again, I realize this may be a bit off your desk, but you know, just hearing you talk about it, you know, is it possible that we like future committee assignments could move along these lines too? So we're entirely focused on organizing the city business around achieving strategic goals.
I think that's a really great question. You're right, it really is kind of beyond my role, but I will say that there is a mid-year governance review coming to council in the very early part of 2021. And that is something that will you know, maybe get discussed at that meeting, and through some dialogue in advance of that meeting.
Fair enough, fair enough. I want to talk about how this was set up, and more important, like where, how do you organize things? Because the strategic plan sections are very broad and understandably so. But I was thinking about, you know, something like Guelph Transit. It could fit under, you know, building our future because we are looking at increasing transit service. It could fit under sustaining our future because more transit means more environmental sustainability. So, how are the different departments organized? Like, how was it decided what fits in what area?
Yeah, that's another really great question. There was a lot of review, like kind of assessment done on how to align the departments in the city to those five priorities. And we actually had a workshop internally with the management team, the general managers, to have them place their departments under the priority that they felt most aligned. And then in some cases, they couldn't decide because they had two divisions that were so different and fit in one priority or the other. So you will see in this budget where in some cases we've gone to the division and we've actually gone to a lower level versus just the department that you may have been used to seeing in the past, because the two divisions so were so different in terms of the priorities they were reaching and contributing to. So there was a lot of work done at the staff level to try and figure that out and get them in the right priorities. And so that's really the work that, so where they finally landed was definitely, there was a lot of engagement internally on what would make the most sense there. And so in terms of like transit specifically, you'll find transit in navigating our future, because I think navigating, really, when the community thinks about navigating, it's how you're getting around the city, right? And so navigating includes transit, navigating includes engineering and traffic and roads, and navigating our future includes parking. So it's really that transportation master plan, right? That all those departments and the services that roll into how we get around the city. And so we're hoping that in the other pillars, that same kind of intuitive nature to the services is kind of that easy. So sustaining our future is all about, you know, that green and that long-term environmental impacts and improving Guelph's carbon footprint and attaining that 100% renewable energy status. And so you're going to see, you know, those things that you think about when you think about sustaining and green. You got your water services and your wastewater and your stormwater, and you've got solid waste. And then the other piece in sustaining, and this was getting into, you know, that divisional split, is we really wanted that urban forest management and that parks piece to be, we felt like that's strongly aligned with sustaining, but the rest of parks operations was more building. So you will see that split on the parks, for example, as you know, where a department was put into two different priorities.
Yeah, I was thinking about Parks and Rec especially, and in terms of the division of priorities. I guess the other part of this too is there's a lot of, this covers 2021 to 2024. There was obviously a lot of work to organize this portion of it. And I think people are wondering how this is going to work this time next year when we're, because the 2022 to 2024 portion is considered the forecast. We're not setting the budget for the next 4 years. We're setting the budget for 2021, and then we have a forecast for 2022, 2023, 2024. So what does that work look like now, and how is it different from the work that you usually do in a budget year?
So, so that is a really important detail, is that we really are asking for approval only for 21. When we originally went into this plan of multi-year budget, we had this vision that we were going to get a 4-year budget approval. And I think that, just with COVID and how it came to be that we had to deviate from that plan. I think even from my perspective, even if COVID didn't happen, I think approving just a single year budget this year with the forecasts was the right hybrid approach for this type of an implementation. The forecast period, as you can probably see in the staff report, is almost 6% every year tax levy impact or tax levy increase starting in 2022 with the initiatives and the priorities and the plans that are in place right now. And I think the value in multi-year budgeting is to have those numbers known and to be able to start working on that, because council needs to consider what's affordable to them and to the community. And really the budget is really setting the pace of how quickly we go, and maybe we need to what that pace looks like in the future, right? And so I think that this year, now that we have this information and we've done the work to get to this point, which we've never been able to do in the past, like this has been an incremental build over probably 3 years now, to get the data and the forecast information this clear, that we need to have conversations with council about affordability and how they would like us to look at the priorities in that period. And there may be some then shifting or deferral of and slowing the pace on some of the plans. And so when so I think there's going to be a lot of work from staff on that activity. If you look at the agenda for tomorrow's workshop, so we have a special council meeting on November 10th. Yeah, I'm just making sure that I'm in the right day. Yeah, so tomorrow there's a transit strategy workshop, and I think that really demonstrates like that type of conversation I just said is thinking about the pace and how quickly we're going. So if you take a look at that agenda and you listen into the workshop tomorrow, I think you'll hear kind of that same messaging about, how fast are we going, and is this what council wants, right? And so those are the types of conversations we're going to be having through 21. Also, then, in terms of preparing for budget, I think there's definitely going to be less. It's not like we're starting from scratch. We've got a good baseline now, and now it's about really the what's changed since we did the 2022 forecast through the 21 budget, and really focusing in on what's changed and what refinements we need to do in the forecast period. And so I think that the conversation is going to be a little bit more continuity in the future rather than starting from scratch every year. And which I think will be easier for the community and for council. Rather than it being like a whole brand new start again in the fall next year.
And I just want to hover over the levy increase, because if you do look at the staff report, it says, I think it says 5.99% for 2022, 23, and 24. And it's right now it's 3.52% for 2021. But that's an allowance for the assessment, the increase in the assessment for the tax base that, you know, we don't know till, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, till about halfway through the year that those numbers aren't formalized. But at this point, you can make a pretty educated guess. And but by the time we get to this time next year in 2022, you will have a rough idea of what the adjusted assessment is going to be for the 2022 fiscal year.
Yeah, that's right. That's another good point. The assessment growth is estimated in the forecast at 1% right now. That could absolutely change as we get closer to same time next year. That is definitely a variable that is present through every year of the forecast. But there's other, that's the thing, is that the forecast period has a lot of estimates in it. And as you get closer to budget approval, we definitely have ability to refine those estimates and present council then with the best version or the most refined version that we can. You know, the less the time, the better the refinement of information. Yeah.
Right. I imagine a pretty big wrinkle in a lot of these best laid plans is the fact that our local boards are also not doing multi-year planning. So I just want to kind of float a scenario here. We pay a certain amount of money, the city of Guelph, I mean, pays a certain amount of money to the county of Wellington to oversee social housing and other social services. Suppose, like, you know, in the middle of a four-year forecast period, the county of Wellington decides to up its investment in social housing and is asking for a certain percentage of support from the city in order to make this a reality. Like, how does that get accounted for when it happens sort of like right in the middle of one of these cycles?
So the county of Wellington actually does a 10-year operating budget. So they actually do have, they're a bit ahead of us in terms of how far out they go in their operating and capital. So, but kind of nullify your question anyway.
Yeah.
I think that in terms of their, you know, whatever the situation, if they needed to make those types of decisions in year or as we get closer to budget approval, the city's ability to respond to that, I think, comes down to those reserve strategies. If it mm-hmm. was a decision that happened after our budget was approved, we have sufficient reserves and strategies in place that we could mitigate that 1 year adjustment and then incorporate it into the next year's budget. And I think that that's like an important concept when we start thinking about that, if we can never get to that, you know, approval of a full 4 year or 3 year multi-year forecast and budget. We'd need to be comfortable with those variances and using reserves and our processes to manage through those impacts in any given year.
Mm-hmm. I guess too is a matter of attitude about the reserves, because I mean, there is always some reticence to dip in there. And I guess it's how a lot of us think about our own savings account. You know, it's not a savings account if we're dipping into it, but I mean, that's kind of what the reserves are there for, right? Like, if, I don't know, Godzilla steps on Guelph Central Station and we need to build a new, you know, place for the buses to gather, that would kind of be a situation where you would want to dip into your reserves.
Yeah, I think I would be maybe not the best treasurer if I was advocating, you know, spending the money from the reserves all the time. But
right.
I absolutely think that there is a reason, and there are times when you do want to dip into your reserves. And I think that you'll see a little bit of that through the discussion this year in the budget about COVID and our response to COVID. But I think for me, the important piece is that reserves should be used to manage one-time events and mitigate one-time things or mitigate spikes like large increases like we did with the police last year, where the police services came and they had a pretty significant enhancement, but council decided to use the reserves to kind of phase in that impact, right? But those are still like one-time uses of that money. Where reserves get dangerous is that if you try to use reserves to offset like ongoing things, right? Like where you're going to make a commitment to something, but that's an ongoing cost. And so now you're committing one-time money to something that you're going to have to deal with in future years. I think that's where council and where it's dangerous to rely on reserves. But in a time like this where you have one-time pressures and issues, I think reserve, like that is what these reserves are for. Absolutely.
So I'm curious about your thoughts on how the public is going to react to this. And I think some pretty good questions were raised at the budget workshop back in July about how councillors are going to be able to share this information with constituents, because I mean constituents have their own individual concerns, and it may have to do with like snow removal or parks or transit or what have you. But this is an entirely new way of thinking about the budget, which is more holistically. It's not just about transit, it's about how transit fits in with the plan to build out the city, and it intersects with traffic and parking. And I guess what I'm wondering is what thought was there in your office about how the public would absorb the change in how this is done?
So we really thought a lot about how to discuss and how to show this to the community, and also with council. So I think it starts with council, but so we have two significant audiences here, council and then also the community. And I would say we've been deliberate in trying to explain that the budget is just a continuation of the strategic plan so that they can understand that this is not new and it's really something that they are familiar with already. We did workshops, or not workshops, but just one-on-one education sessions with council to navigate and walk them through the website last week so that they knew where to find information so that they could be in a position of readiness when the community was reaching out to them, because they really are that first point of contact for the community. And so I hope that council is in a place where they can talk about the website and the presentation with their constituents. The other thing that we are doing this year is we've originally, our plan was that we were going to hold a town hall where for the community, similar to what you saw through the council composition a few months ago. But we started then having requests from councillors about ward town halls and if staff would come and be part of their ward town halls to talk to the constituents about budget. And so we said, absolutely, that would even be better than our kind of original plan to do one town hall. And so you will see us, myself and Deputy CAO Lee, coming to the ward town halls where the budget will be discussed with the community in that forum as well. And so we'll be there and we can answer questions related to maybe more specifics that are important to those constituents in that ward, and then also broader budget impacts if they have questions on that.
I wonder if the circumstances of COVID make this a bit, in so much it's never a good time to sort of introduce big changes because people hate big changes. But you know, the first meeting for this is on the 17th. It starts at 9 a.m. A lot of people do work, you know, in on a weekday in the morning, and you know, it's a bit of a shift in that way that we're taking this kind of all day approach to the budget. And since a lot of people like me learn better, as you know, with audio and visual cues, not necessarily with the reading comprehension, a lot of people like that budget presentation. And I'm getting to a question, but but the COVID's, you know, the fact that we're recording everything, it is all up on the web. I noticed the clerk's office has been much more quicker in terms of posting the video and the audio of meetings. This really probably, in hindsight, may be a really great time to do this, because there is that ease of access through everything being done to mitigate COVID measures.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think the shift in terms of digital meetings is not new. It's not just for budget, right? Like council is doing virtual council meetings now, all like back since the end of March. And at that time, we never envisioned that we would still be in virtual council meetings. And so it was probably, you know, in the June timeframe where we started to think about, wow, budget's going to have to be through virtual this year, like a virtual meeting. And how does that change our strategy for presenting, and how is that going to impact everything, really? And our takeaway from that was that, exactly like you said, this might be the right time to have the fully virtual and digital budget book, and make and have that web-based access for the community. And absolutely, Clerks has got their infrastructure in terms of the meetings and the playback, and just the accessibility of all of this at any time of the day, I think, is all coming together at the perfect time to make this budget process successful.
Maybe two questions to finish up that are a bit outside our direct budget process, but or maybe not in the case of this first one. But the impacts of COVID, I know this was talked about a couple of weeks ago at council, and there were still some numbers up in the air. Is it still the assumption that we are pretty well situated in terms of the how we're recovering from COVID and the budget impacts, that maybe we are not going to be recipients of future funding from the province in terms of that Safe Restart funding?
Yes, so we're a little bit farther along that path now in terms of assessing where projected variance is going to be for year end, and we are not likely going to be able to qualify for that phase two Safe Restart funding. I would say that the city's quick reaction to cost mitigation, and then also, though, the continued facility and service closures and kind of service modification, we're seeing that those efforts, that they're mitigating against the additional cost. The COVID cost is still escalating, the one-time cost, and we expect that's still gonna be even maybe continuing to go up before we reach year end. We've done our best to estimate where that's gonna end up, but I think the other mitigation measures that we've put in place are working. And so 2020, we're going to leave 2020 in a not too bad of a state. Our reserves are going to stay intact because of the Safe Restart funding. Without that funding, though, it would have been a different story. So I don't want to say that our mitigation completely offset the revenue loss, but the Safe Restart money is helping us keep 2020, like keep us stable. But we're likely going to have all the same pressures through 2021 too, right? Like, we're not sure how quickly ridership in the transit system is going to pick up. We're not sure if the University of Guelph and the student population are going to use transit in the same way they've done in the past. We don't know when the demand for parking downtown might go back to pre-COVID levels, with especially with the shift to work from home. So there's a lot of impacts still that are going to be around through 2021 that we need as like a staff group to really be assessing and coming up with a plan for long-term financial sustainability.
Mm-hmm. The worst is over, but there's going to be a long rehab period, I think, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, we expect the impacts could be, you know, 3 to 5 years in terms of our businesses, and maybe they're permanent impacts in the way we deliver services, right? And so those are the types of the things we really need to look at this year, and well, in 2021, I mean, and come back to council with some of those assessments and potentially changes in plans and how we do business.
And I guess maybe for, and this is a bit more broad, and I remember that there was an announcement at the provincial legislature, and Lord, I can't remember when, but it was about aligning the municipal budgets and the provincial budget so that we would have the same fiscal year. And I guess, have you heard any kind of movement on that, or is like any, like those kind of like ambitious, like organizational plans are kind of wiped off the map because of COVID? And, but along with that, I mean, does that help you at all? I mean, would that be an asset, especially given like these tough fiscal times, that, you know, to have that like better alignment with upper levels of government in terms of their fiscal years?
So to answer the first part of your question, I have not heard anything more about that plan since it was announced, I think probably a year ago, actually. I think it was part of the 2019 budget, or maybe early 2020. I think that a shift to a different fiscal year would be so, there'd be so much work involved for that. And I don't mean to, you know, in terms of administrative burden on a system, for maybe what, there might be a little benefit to having the same cycle as the upper levels of government, but we don't really rely on those government of like that level of government that much, that those grant announcements, you know, would change much for the municipality. In my view, I think that the disruption and the administration burden to change what we have right now on a fiscal year, like January 1 to December 31, I think that is way more valuable to keep that intact. Like, just the impact alone on our property tax system, and changing how we collect money and the times, like the assessment evaluations. And I just feel like there would be such impact that we haven't even been able to, well, like, you know, you get into the details and just like the amount of burden to overcome those kind of administrative changes, really, I just don't think the value, like, that there's value there.
All right, fair enough. Well, Tara Baker, thank you so much for all your time and your expertise today. And we will see you on the other side of the budget this year.
Well, no, thanks, Adam. I think that this has really been a great conversation. I love the opportunity to be able to talk a little bit more in depth on, you know, some of the processes and the behind the scenes aspect of building the budget. And so, yeah, thank you for this. It's been great.
And once again, that was Tara Baker. You can see all the budget materials now on the city's website at guelph.ca. The budget will be presented at a special meeting of council on Tuesday, November 17th at 9 a.m., and the public delegation night will be Wednesday, November 25th at 6 p.m. The final budget vote will take place on December 1st, and you will be able to follow all these developments as they happen on Guelph Politico. And that is it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The Guelph Politicast is usually recorded at CFRU at the University Center on the University of Guelph campus, and to learn more about CFRU, go to cfru.ca. You can download the Guelph Politicast on Wednesday from Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, or you can download it from the host Podbean at guelphpoliticast.podbean.com, and when you subscribe to the Guelph Politicast channel, you'll get an episode of Open Sources Guelph on Mondays and an episode of End Credits on Fridays. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com, reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson or at Guelph Politico. You can go to Guelph Politico's Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And if you'd like to help build a locally sourced independent media outlet in the city of Guelph, then please consider donating to Guelph Politico, and you can find out how at guelphpolitico.ca/donate. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.ca, where there will be a new episode of the show for you next week. And until then, see you next time.